Polling this election season predicted big wins for Democrats, a wide open path to the White House for Joe Biden, a Senate controlled by Democrats, and an even bigger House majority. Well, as we know, those forecasts were wrong again. Joining us now is Michael Schulzen, contributing editor at Undark Magazine. It's a publication that looks at the intersection of science and society. Michael, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
And yeah, sure, the ballots are still being counted in some states across the country, but there is a lot of angst already right now, because yet again, it appears the polls got it wrong. What do you think? Is this a case of deja vu all over again?
I think there are definitely ways where this situation will feel similar to 2016 and ways in which it may turn out to be different. As you said, it's still pretty early. There are still ballots being counted, and there's a lot of data for pollsters and scholars and others to pore over in the coming weeks and months to try to understand where the polls told a story that ended up playing out and where they may have found results that suggested outcomes that did not pan out in the way that was expected.
But we do already have some data. Let's take a look at the national polls in 2020, which were worse than they were in 2016. The polls this year had Biden winning Wisconsin by about 8 points on average. He barely sneaked by. And if the polls were right, then Democrats would have won back Ohio, which of course they didn't do. So what happened? Because after 2016, pollsters made significant changes to their methods. They tried hard to better account for white voters without a college degree, for example. What went wrong this time?
One thing that I'm hearing produce a lot of alarm among pollsters and a lot of curiosity is the sense that not only was there a polling error again, but it seemed to cut in a similar way to in 2016. Right. So in 2016, you see a lot of Trump voters coming out who the polls did not seem to account for, that seemed to be concentrated in the upper Midwest. A lot of changes happened since then. There was a big postmortem from the big National Polling Association trying to understand what was going on. Lots of pollsters are going to change their methods. And once again, we're seeing that a lot of Trump voters, for some reason, were being missed in polls, especially in the upper Midwest, and then showed up on Election Day, right?
Right. And let's take a look at the polls from 2018, because actually they looked pretty good that year. And of course, that was a year that President Trump wasn't on the ballot. What about that? I mean, I know people are talking now about whether or not it's just really, really hard to pull a race when Donald Trump is in it.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to a pollster yesterday in Wisconsin who was making this exact point, that it seemed as if the 2018 polls were right on. In the Democratic primary this year, they got very close to calling what was going to happen. And then for some reason, the moment Trump is on the ballot, the situation looks a little bit different. And there's a whole range of speculation about why that may be the case. Is it that there's some subset of Trump voters who are particularly likely to show up for him and for some reason are particularly likely not to trust pollsters or not to answer the phone? Is it that for some reason people are not being entirely forthcoming when they're asked about who they're going to vote for? Is there something about the way that these things were weighted, that these complicated models were trying to account for who's going to vote and who's not going to vote, that for some reason missed the mark?
Yeah. Well, you know, this is just anecdotal, but in some of the reporting that I did over the course of the last couple months leading up to this election, I spoke with Trump voters who were not shy Trump voters. I mean, they were proud Trump voters. And in fact, they told me that they purposefully lied to pollsters because they wanted to throw sand in the gears of something that they saw as sort of the mainstream problem of this country, the media and the polls and all that sort of thing. Now, this is an inflammatory question, I know, but some people are saying that after this election, polls are dead and that we should just stop using them. What do you think? Is that realistic?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been striking that even in the days after hearing those pronouncements, I'm also seeing a lot of reporting and discussion about polls, about, for example, who trusts the outcome of the presidential election and who does not. So there seems to be this way in which at moments of uncertainty, there's this turn toward polls. At the same time, I think that the way in which polls are produced, there's going to need to be real questions. And I think there is going to be a little bit of a reckoning about the way that this data gets used and the way that we perhaps sometimes uncritically put trust in data, which needs to be thought about in a larger context and which needs to be understood for more than as just an absolute number.
Well, and maybe, Michael, the reason that we do that is because we're human beings, and I think we tend to hate uncertainty. We are starving for any data, I'm speaking for myself here and I know for others, that will tell us anything about a race, especially a presidential race. And so, you know, I just wonder how we deal with the fact that we are seeking precise answers to something that is not yet known.
Yeah, I think there's this fascinating question, especially about election forecasts like Nate Silver's 538 and others that have become so popular in the past decade or so, right? About what are they for? What need does it fulfill for us to be looking at these numbers, to, for some people, obsessively checking these numbers ahead? What information does it actually provide that's useful to voters? And people, forecasters and others, will make that pitch and they can make arguments for that, but I do think there are real questions about what it is that we're looking for with this data and whether it actually is providing information to voters that's useful. And again, polls ask a lot of other questions besides who are you going to vote for? And I think a lot of pollsters would say the most useful stuff we're finding is not about how we think people are going to vote. It's about things that are motivating the electorate. It's about concerns that people are bringing in, which may not be so easy to see in other kinds of reporting or in anecdotes, but that are really, really important to some subset of the electorate. These other trends, which are there and which are part of that story, but often are get glossed over from this need to resolve this uncertainty through data.
Michael Schulzen, contributing editor at UnDark Magazine, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.